All right, so we'll begin Beis Hashem Malach of Shochet today, and we should be able to do that between today and Sunday. At the moment, I plan to be here Sunday, Beis Hashem, live and in person, so regular time. I'll do it on Zoom also, but a couple of guys said they'd be here, and I hope to be here, so but I'll put it on Zoom as well. As far as Monday is concerned, so I'm not going to go weiter in Malachus of Shabbos. Officially this year, Monday, I think, but... I don't know, if people are interested, maybe we'll send a thing. I can say something on the Haggadah, something like that. If people are interested, you know, sometime, some point Monday morning. So I'll have to keep a send out a gauge the interest of the crowd. I know people are busy and so on. So am I. I don't know if my wife wants me to take up too much time from household chores, but there's a shem. It'll work out. Okay. So we talked about the Malach of Shochet, which is the Malach of 26 on the list. And Mishnah says, and I give a Aleph. So it said Hatzod Tzvi, which we spoke about Tzod already, trapping or confining. And it gives an example of a Tzvi. And then it says Hashochto, you know, someone who slaughters it, you know, who kills it, meaning the Tzvi. But we were explaining it's Lav Davka Tzvi. But that's where the Mishnah mentions Shochet. Again, it's a funny formulation because it refers specifically to the Tzvi, even though that's Davka not what was in the Mishkan, as we discussed. And there's going to be, I'll mention now, there's going to be some overlap. We did now, what we're doing now in the Malach of Shochet today and Sunday with what we did the last couple of days regards to Tzad, but not entirely, as we'll see some important differences. But anyway, Rashi says, I give all Aleph, source 2, Hatzad is Hatzvi, V'chol Malach is Oro, Noheges B'tchashim L'mishkan Morosei. And Rashi says, Tzad and Shochet, all the others, there's seven altogether, seven Malachas, of which Shochet is number 2, that has to do with the trapping or and then killing animals for the purpose of getting their hides, the things that we need in the Mishkan. So those are all things, the tanning, other things we'll learn about in terms of the hides, all that had to do, all those things had to do with Tchoshim, and we mentioned, again, I quoted the Psukim again from Parshas Truma, the Chumash, where the Torah lists, in the beginning of Parshas Truma, Shmos Parakaf Hei, it says, Pasuk Gimel Vzosa Truma Shaiti Chumi Tom, so among the things collected in Pasuk Hei, Oros Elim Adamim, skins from Elim, what's translated as rams, okay, it was exactly a ram and something else, what we call a ram, we'll translate as a ram, and isles a ram, and oros tchoshim. All right, we discussed last time, not going over that again, that the tachash seemed to be some type of unique creature that was created just for that time. It was a unicorn, maybe, and had this multicolored skin and fur, whatever it was. Okay. And the Torah says, those are among the things that were collected, oros elim adamim, oros tchoshim, ratzei shitim. And later in the next parak, in parak avog, Torah mentions what these things were used for. They were used for coverings, coverings of the Mishkan. Again, going into detail, not only the Mishkan itself, but covering it for the various kalim when they were in transport. When they were moved from one place to another. The coverings over the Mishkan were always there. But the coverings, the individual kalim, they were wrapped in all the kalim, the menorah, the aron, and things were wrapped in different coverings for the transportation purpose. Anyway, it says in Parshas Truma, Parakal Vapas Gedalad, okay. Anyway, that's Shochet. So the Gemara assumes on the Ayin Hay and Aleph on the bottom page, source 5, going over to Ayin Hay and Beis, the Gemara assumes for the moment that Shochet means Shochet as in Hilchos Shechita, Dafka killing through the method of slaughtering. Okay, in other words, you have to, you know, when you Shecht there, you have to cut the esophagus, you know, the trachea and the esophagus, the food pipe, windpipe, the kona and the veshet, that's called in Hebrew. Okay, you have to cut these two simonim, those are the two simonim in the neck of the animal that you have to slice, or the bird that you have to slice. Okay, the two simonim in an animal. So you have to cut the kona and the veshet. So that's with a knife, that's called shechita. Now, whether the Gemara would go so far as to say that shochet means you're not allowed to have any of the so-called five psule shechita, that far we wouldn't go. We'll see what I can go this far. But for the moment, the Gemara says in the following question, Shochet mishum mai chayev. What exactly is one chayev for as Shochet? Now, what is chayev? The Mishnah list is one of the malachas. So Rashi explains in 6, on Ayin Hayim and Aleph, Shochet mishum mai chayev, at the bottom of the page of Ayin Hayim and Aleph, Shechita b'melechas ha-mishkan heicha. Where was Shechita done in terms of the Mishkan? O mai avite, what do you do? After all, when you got the hides for the Elim or the Tchoshim, the Chora, you didn't have to slaughter them with Shechita in order to get the hides. Rashi says, Ime Oros Elim Adamim, right? The oros elim, they would redden. Lamali buushkita bechanika namisa. You choke the animal, you can kill the animal some other way. Who says it has to be shochet? Why is shochet? Why does the Mishnah mention shochet? Okay, or as we'll see, Tosla is a little differently. Why do we have a specific issa by shochet? If it sounds like dafka, the issa is if you shech the animal. What do you mean? In order to get the hides from the different, whether the elim or the toshim, you didn't have to shecht it. You could kill the animal some other way, right? That's the question. So Rav Omar Mishum Tzoveya. Rashi said there'll be a Rav that says, let's do it Tzoveya. Tzoveya is coloring. Okay, well, when you shecht and you slice, there's a lot of blood that comes pouring out. So that part of the skin becomes reddened because of the blood. That's the concern. Mishum Tzoveya. As Rashi explains, 7, it's the top Rashi of Ayin Hamid Beis in 7. Mishum Tzoveya, Shet Tzoveya es habosa so beis hashkita. The flesh, the skin around the base of shkita, around the neck, becomes reddened. Yeah.
Say again.
Rashi explaining where was shkita, dafka shkita, in the Malachas HaMishkan. Where was shkita, dafka shkita, in the Malachas HaMishkan? To get the... What's that? So the Gemara answer, the Rav says, shochet is a chiyuv because it relates to tzoveya. Okay, well, you have to just hold the seal, but that. What's that? One second. So right now, Rob says, so the Gemara will say, Rob says, even. You know, what's it? So according to Rob, see, you're jumping the gun, but okay, the poster says, well, it's a good point. I'm trying. Look at 8 for a second. Look at Tosis. There on Ayat Hamid Aleph. Shokim Shumachayev, Lava Shokit the Masnisam Koi. It's not asking what is Shokit in the Mishnah. Okay, that's got to be talking about Netzilas Neshama. It's not talking about violating Tzoveya because Tzoveya is already its own malacha. There already was a malacha called Tzoveya. The Tzoveya Tnan Behedra Mastisa. So what is the malacha? Ella Ashochet Da'almakoi. What the Gemara is asking, a person who does Shchita, actual Shchita. So that's it. I mean, I was going to do a Tosis, but since you hear what I'm saying, Tosis is saying a person, we're not asking. According to Tosas and according to, and I don't think Rashi disagrees. Okay, but Tosas spells it out. That's what printed Tosas. The question is not why does the Mishnah include shochet? Okay, that was not the question. Okay, shchita melechas mishkan hecho. Rashi says it means. I mean, it's a little more difficult according to Rashi. What? Sort of. Right. I think that's where you have to learn it. Well, exactly. Okay, so someone, a random person today, who does, not today, but on Shabbos, who does shochet, okay, what are you chayav for? So Rav says you're chayav for tzoveya. That can't be, so Tosfos pointing out, that can't be what the Mishnah means by shochet, that shochet as malacha number 26, shochet is tzoveya, because tzoveya, I don't know what number it was, but tzoveya is earlier, right? There already was a malacha called tzoveya. You follow? So, therefore, Tosfos says, Lav Ashokit the Masnisen Koi. The Kasha was not going on what is Shokit doing in the Mishnah. You're taking a life. So the real definition of Shokit in the Mishnah is extinguishing a life, taking a life. That's the Isser of Shokit.
That's
Shmuel. Well, 1 second. So, but even Rav would agree that it's also that. Shmuel or Mishnah Tilsa Shoma. And basically, what Shmuel means is it's Lav Dafka Shchita. Okay, shchita is a buzzword for taking a life. Okay, now Rav, the Gemara says, so Gemara right away asks, the top of the bays, Mishum Tzoveya in Mishum Tilas Hashama lo? Does Rav hold it's only Tzoveya and there's no problem of Tilas Hashama? Could that be? Okay, after all, there already is a malach of Tzoveya, so what are you talking about? So Ema Af Mishum Tzoveya. No, Rav says also when you do Shochet, as opposed to other means of killing, okay, I guess if you electrocute the animal or whatever, there's no blood, right? But if you shecht it in the neck, there's going to be lots of blood. So you're also chayav mishum tzoveya. That's Rav. Yeah.
When it comes to both of them, when the Mishnah says shochet, it actually makes up shomah.
Yes.
And they're asking the general question.
Yes, that's the way, that's how Tosfos. That's for sure how Tosfos. That's for sure
how
Tosfos.
But how does Shmuel, what is the difference between Shpita Alma and Shpita Mishnah?
Yeah, so according to Shmuel, you see, again, Rav is moda that you'd be chayav for Netilas Neshama even if you killed the animal some other way, you'd for sure be chayv mitzvos neshama. Rav just says, if you do it via what we call shechita, hence there being a lot of, resulting in a lot of blood coming out, you're also chayv in tzoveya. And Shmuel seems to deny that. Shmuel says, no, shochet, don't get so fancy. Shochet is just another word for killing. It doesn't have to be shechita in halakhic shechita. Right? In other words, Ema af mishum, so it comes out according to Shmuel, shochet simply means it feels the shama. It's just a general term. According to Rav, shochet means dafka shochet, because then you're chayav both for the tefillas shama and for.
Well, shochet in the Mishnah means
shama. Yes, I think that's a Shmuel.
So what is shochet ama in Shmuel? What is shochet ama? Is there no shochet ama?
I don't think Shmuel makes a chil. That's how I think. I think Shmuel just saying, don't get all excited. Shochet means kill it, however you kill it. It's the word shochet. And I think Shmuel would say it's, I don't think Shmuel would agree that it's like tzoveya. Yeah.
According to Shmuel, why not tzoveya?
Yeah, okay, because either Shmuel would say that's not the normal means of tzoveya or something. I'm not sure. I don't know. The Gemara goes on to further state Rav. I don't know what Shmuel, to be honest, you're asking also. I don't really know what Shmuel would say about that. But it doesn't seem like Shmuel says that there's a problem of tzoveya. Okay, maybe it's a, you know, it's not, your intent is not, although Rav explained, because Rav is a little difficult. Sofeya, what kind of Sofeya? I mean, so it becomes red, that's not your intent. So Rav says, no, it could be. So look what the Gemara says, Omar Rav, okay, Omar Rav, you know what I'm saying? It's the way Shmuel seems to learn, Shmuel's just saying, listen, shochet means killing. That's what it means in the Mishnah. And a person who shechts an animal, or he chokes it, or he strangles it, or he electrocutes it, or he shoots it in the head, or whatever he does, that's a violation of Shabbos shochet. Okay.
So the Mishnah could have actually been talking about or saying
it. Yeah, it could be talking about anything. It could have said the word horeg instead.
Meaning that the purpose of shochet by the Mishnah could have actually been.
Yeah, yeah. And horeg, it would be another word. According to Rav, Dafka mentioned shochet because you also chayv tzoveya that way. Okay, so Gemara asks, says, by the way, Amar Rav, this is the second line of five, it's the top line of him and Bezin in Shabbos. Amar Rav, Milsa de Amri, that which I said. Okay, and by the way, just look in your question, look in the second Rashi on Ayin Reis in 7. Mishnah Tilos Shoma, the Tilos Shoma, Habib the Mishkan. Be'elim, Adamim, V'tachash, V'chalazim, right? It was there. That's what it is. Right? That's your Rashi address that point. Yeah. That's correct. Right, a person who does it. Right, right. That shochet, the Mishnah means killing. Yeah, yeah. All right, anyway, it's a focus. And now the point is, Rav now says, Omar Rav, Milsa de Amri. You see, your Rashi is addressing your issue. Right? Okay, Ema ba milsa de lo leisu dori basroi velikolai. Rav says, interesting Gemara. Rav says, let me tell. First of all, before I get to that, look at the next Rashi. Af mishum tzian and af kamila chivetarte. You'll be high of two things. Okay. Then Rav said, I said something that sounds a little strange because I brought up tzoveya. I mean, most of us wouldn't have thought of tzoveya when we're talking about killing an animal, right? And Rav brings it up as I explained it to you because it gets a little bloody. But the Rav, it's a little bit strange. So Rav acknowledged it was strange, unusual. So Rav says, Amar Rav, Milsa the Amri, that which I said, Eime be Milsa, the Lolesi, Dori Basroi. I don't want the later generations, Dori Basroi, to come, the Likhualai, make fun of me. This is a strange thing. I say, right, let me explain myself. So people won't say, oh, that was a weird thing that guy said. So he's going to explain it, right? That's a funny Gemara, right? Milsa the Amri, Eime, Dover Tema Amarti, Lahaskir Tzviya Bishchita. I brought up an unusual thing which people would have thought about Peshkita. They bring up Soveya. Zorach hadi lomo tavar tam. I better give a good reason for it. The lacy dori basra shomer milikwalai. Later generation will read this. They say, what a weird guy. Okay, you know. So, right? I mean, what a strange thing to say. So, let me explain. So, he says, Soveya b'mai nichalei. Why would it be Soveya? Why? And that, which may very well be what Shmuel holds. Shmuel holds that you're not interested in Soveya. You know, that's why it's in the I'll tell you why. Because Nicha, the lit, once I think mentioned it, Nicha, the litvus base of Shechita Dama. You want to soak, litvus means like to soak, okay, to soak the base of shechita, the neck, the place where you shecht, with blood. Ki hecha the lechzi inch of a lace of a lizumine, because you can tell in that case it was freshly slaughtered meat. Again, in an era without refrigeration, okay, meat, like many things, spoiled pretty quickly. Well, you know very well, you buy fresh meat, okay, from a store, it's very red, right? If you put it, freeze it and take it out, it's browner, right? Or you leave it out, it becomes brown. That's natural. So again, we're not worried about it because we have freezing and refrigeration, so it can preserve it for a significant amount of time, okay? Well, I don't know about this one, I just found in the freezer last night some chopped liver from last Pesach. It's been in the freezer all year long. I don't know, is that still good? It's been in the freezer. Never came out of the OUP chopped liver. Does anyone know that? Is that good? My wife said you better not eat it. Yeah.
So this is a question I'm thinking. What if your intent in killing the animal is to stop it from doing damage? So you're trying to trap it.
We spoke about that a little bit, trapping. We spoke a little bit about trapping. Usually the definition of trapping is I want the animal, and then there's a different type of trapping because I don't want the animal, in fact. Okay, so we talked about a little bit of sucks. But anyway, that's the... But here we're talking about killing. So in any event, so Rav said that's why it's Tovea, because sometimes the butcher, okay, will want the base of Shechita to look red. Okay, they'll buy him because look at the last Rashi. People will see, oh, it's a freshly slaughtered animal. I mean, it's fresh, so they'll jump to buy it first. Well, that's an advertising gimmick. I mean, today they have all kinds of other things. I mentioned in the past, and then with fruit, you know, they spritz with some of the apples look redder and stuff like that, you know, because they're more attractive looking to people. Chazal knew about that too, so it was a trick. All right. Anyway, the bottom line in terms of our purpose, we see that what does shochet mean? Shochet means killing in any which way. Maybe if you do it achmas reshita, it causes, it's also a problem. So, yeah, fine. Okay. All right. So that's in terms of actually taking the life of the animal. Another thing which we see in the Gemara, I'm going to show you now for today, different places in the Gemara where different examples of shochet come up. Okay. So the discussion by Shrotzen. Okay, so we mentioned in the past, we mentioned also by Tzad, the Shmona Shrotzim. That's a Perek and Shabbos, Perek Shmona Shrotzim. It begins on page Kuvzayin of an Aleph, the Mishnah, which we'll see in a second, it's verse 10. The Torah tells us, usually, just to understand, usually, so the dead carcass of a behemoth, in addition to not allowed to eat it, because it was shechted, it also generates tumor, right? You look at the end of right after Pesach, Parsha Shmini. So the end of Parsha Shmini mentions, you know, the simonim of kashrus by animals and by fish and so on, lists off all the birds that I'll eat. Then it talks about shrotzim. It's difficult to translate the word sherets into English. Okay, it probably means reptiles or these types of slithering, maybe crawling creatures. You know, huh? Yeah, I guess you call it. It's a slithering type of creature. It could be a rodent also. Okay, I'm not sure of the exact classification. Yeah. But reptiles also, so the Torah lists off, usually speaking, the dead carcass of most shrotzim, most non-behemoths, are not metame anyway. However, these shmona shrotzim are metame. Okay, these shmona shrotzim. What are they? So the Torah lists them off. Perek Yud Aleph, Parsha Shmini, Vayikra, Perek Yud Aleph, Pasuk Chav Tes, V'zelachem atomei. And list off eight. Hacholed, va'achbar, va'tzav, limineh, that's three. And the Pasuk Lama, the next five. Anoka, va'koch, va'tov, va'chomim, va'tin shamas. What are these things in English? Well, it depends where you look. You look in some places, I think Art School just transliterates them. Okay, because the big machok. If you look at Rabbi Arya Kaplan's Chumash, Arya Kaplan, you know, was a great genius who knew a tremendous amount about everything. Okay, I met him. He died at a very young age. He died, I think he was 48. Yeah, 48 years old. I met him. Very unassuming person. You know, he was a talented physicist. He knew all about science. He knew all about, if you ever look at the his translation of
the meditation.
He was very into Kabbalah. He wrote a book on Jewish meditation. I have it all. I think I tried to get everything he wrote. I don't know if I have every book he wrote, but he wrote an astonishing number of books, but because he writes things very, very clearly. You know, not on understand all the Kabbalistic stuff, you know, but on my area, but he explains things very clearly. Well, it was before his lectures. Lectures, right. But right. The stuff that he wrote is extraordinarily clear and detailed marmakomas, detailed footnotes. His parish on the Chumash is really unbelievable, actually, in my opinion. It's, you know, because he cross-references things to historical events and so on. And you know, he knew, you look at the end of Parshas Noah, for example, when it mentions all the Shivim, the 70 nations who spread to where and so on. There's all kinds of theories based on Herodotus and other Greek historians, where, who went where. They're very fascinating to read. And so it also, and when it mentions creatures, he does reach us. He tells you what the Septuagint said, what the Sadigon said, what Rashi, you know, and they did their research. Anyway, so roughly speaking, I'm just going to give some translation. A cholid is a mole. Achbar is a rat or a mouse. Okay. Sov is, as some say, it's a ferret. Okay. Anoka, I think a beaver. Koch is a chameleon. Ota is a some type of a lizard. Okay. I'm missing stuff, but the Tinsham is a snail of some sort. I don't know. These are types of creatures we're talking about. Okay, lizards and snails and ferrets and these type of rodents or reptiles, whatever they're classified as. Again, we don't exactly know what they are, but that's a Torah mention. Okay, so the Mishnah says in the beginning of the parak called Shmona Shvatim 10. Incidentally, one of the two books that Rabbi Kaplan wrote that I think really people should look at. They certainly get a general over. It's called The Handbook of Jewish Thought. You ever see that? It's two volumes called The Handbook of Jewish Thought. Just very many basic things. Like in the first volume, Lord God, another chapter on man, another chapter on revelation, another chapter on prophecy. And you know, he just gives it in bite-sized, you know, paragraphs, just major principles. And then he tells you where to look in the Rambam and the Rambanim and Yosef Albo and the Sefer Kuzer. You know, we discuss these things. Really, a very unbelievable work, in my opinion. Anyway, and it's fundamental points. You know, what is authority? How do we represent Torah authority and so on? And it's really quite and again, copious marmakomos.
Two volumes.
One is, Handbook of Jewish Thought, it's called.
Probably is there one volume this year?
Say again.
Is there an issue?
I don't know. I don't think so. It's published. Moznaim publishes his stuff. You go on the Moznaim, but Moznaim publishes his stuff, and it's just interesting to read. I mean, at least certainly is a point of embarkation on to examine some of these issues. But you know, just you know, what was God? What does belief in God mean? What is you know, fearing God? Very very basic. You know, I think he writes at the beginning that. We find, unfortunately, the more basic a principle, the less most people know about it. You know, because we don't spend time studying it. It's very, very interesting.
On the cover.
Huh? That's on the cover. That's on the cover. That little quote, yeah. I don't need my stomach. You know, I met him. I know him well. Younger, but he died very suddenly, unexpectedly. Somebody wrote very well about him because he wrote a lot of books for the OU. Just apparently filling in on tzitzis and on, you know, about Hanukkah and you know, other things, with Shabbos. Just very nice, easily read. But again, he gave a footnote. As a Hilchos Hanukkah, the order of the Shulchan Aruch. Yeah, I have it home. But, you know, I think, I don't know, Rabbi Stolper is one of the founders of SCSY. He wrote, he writes a very beautiful comment. He said, his mind contained libraries of books waiting to be put into print, you know, and you know, something died at a very young age. He wrote, "It was the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that only so much be revealed at this time and no more." You know, so anyway, very interesting. Okay, what's that?
Also,
and he also is a prolific writer, you know.
About that at 39,
yeah, he wasn't 40 years old, yeah. And so, I once heard you give perspective as a Shach also. Shachos was very young. Anyway, a lot of people didn't live to old age, but there's, I once heard a comedian who was a musician comment, you know, he said, sometimes I think I've accomplished a lot, but then I realized that by the time Mozart was my age, he'd already been dead for 5 years. You know, like, so anyway. All right. So the Mishnah says in Shmona Shvatzim, the parish Shmona Shvatzim, Kuf Zayin Amud Aleph, verse 10, Shmona Shvatzim, Umar Torah, Hatzodam, Vachovo Behem Chayev. You trap them, and we discuss this a little bit by Tzad. I said there's going to be some overlap. So Hatzodam, Vachovo Behem, that is important, because Chovil means to cause damage without necessarily killing. Okay, but Hachovo Behem Chayev. Ushar Shvatzim, Umar, other types, not in the category of the Shmona Shvatzim, other types of these rodents and things like that. Okay. Hachovu ben potter, but hatzodon was the tzorech chayev, so it's our potter. Okay. I mean, the tzodon would be chayev. We mentioned this, I think we saw this by the tzodon. So Rashi says there, Kuz Adam Aleph here in 11, in Shabbos, Shmona Shrotz, Hachovu Akba, etc. Quotes the Pasuk in Shemina I just showed you. Hatzodon chayev, Rashi says, Shemimino nitzod. Because these things are trapped. So we discussed that yesterday. They're the only chayav and sod. It was the type of things that people tend to try and trap for their pelts, for their fur, whatever it is. Okay. Again, not our issue now. But a chovel behind chayav. What's chovel? So it says, because these things, yesh lahen or, they have skin. They have, some certain type of skin. So you can refer to Mora. Bahavel chabura she'eno chozeres. So it's a type of thing where if you make a chabur, make some kind of a wound, it doesn't clear up. The damage by the wound, okay, stays. That's by these Shmona Shvatzim. Their skin is such that if you smack it or something like that, so the blood, even if the blood doesn't come out, rises to the top and it stays there. If I slap a person in the face, it'll turn red a little bit, but then after a few seconds, the blood will go back down where it's supposed to, right? I mean, if you picture the smack on the face, so it'll turn a little bit red. Yeah. Yeah, okay. You're right. Okay. But these creatures apparently are different. Okay. Let's see. Right. We'll see the distinction. We're saying that these things are chovel chayav. Okay. Chovel is chayav. And why is that? It's chabur shechuderes. Mavali told of the shochet. It's a told of shochet. You didn't kill the animal, okay? But in effect, unlike the human being, even a bruise, okay? We're not going to compare it now to not harm a person either. But a bruise, so it takes a few days, but it does clear up, right? I mean, if I slap you in the face, it'll clear up in 10 seconds or whatever, right? Whatever, half a minute, okay? If I punch you in the arm, I give you what we call a black and blue arm. So it'll take a few days maybe for it to clear up. These things don't. So therefore, it's on the told of the shochet, whatever that word is, in Rashi quotes. But the idea is we'll see, because it's the tilas neshama from that part of the body. It's a form of the tilas neshama. Tilas neshama doesn't only, and that's the chiddush I'm trying to bring out here now, that there's another type of the tilas neshama actually taking the life away. The animal's living, but that part of the body is dead. It's almost like, I guess gangrenous would be a parallel in that limb is dead, right? It's not going to come back. So that's apparently the status of these type of animals. Okay, that's one definition. And Rashi is loshon acher, kevin the ishon or nitzba or bedama nitzor bo dechay mishum tzoveya. We're back to tzoveya because it becomes red or black and blue and so on. The two of interpretations, maybe the machlokas that, but shar shkotzim u'moshim. Rashi says, kagol, tolas, worms, nechashim, snakes, akravim, scorpions, the other types of rumas, scotch rumasim, hachom, potter, dehain, lahem, or. They're all that type of skin. Okay? So then, you would not be chayav alts shochim. Then, tzod would still be, it depends on the tzorch or not. Okay? But they're not, if it's solo, it's rock potter, dehain, b'minonitzo. These are things that are not normally trapped. Okay. But what emerged in this Gemara is you can violate what I want to bring out for our purposes is you can violate Matilas Hashama even without actually taking the life. That's what I want to bring out. The Gemara says on that same page in Kuvza that was the Mishnah. So that was the Mishnah on 10. Kuvzayim off and Amud Beis, the Gemara explains with Brisa 12. Matanya Tzod Echad Mishmona Shvatzim Amur Torah Chovu Ben Chayim. It's talking about Shvatzim Shieshlem Oros. Okay. Basically, it's not only the eight, but other shvatzim too, if they have oros. Okay, basically, chabur shen chazeres shenitzra hadam afo pi shelo yotzef. The blood coagulated, whatever the blood, the right word is, but rose to the top, but it didn't come out. Okay, look at Rashi says in 13, this is Shabbos Kuz Anbeis, Mitzra Adam, Nesaf, the Nikshar, B'mokom Echad. The blood gathered and hardened, or whatever the right word is, in that one place, like a bruise. But Shuv Eino Chozev Nivla, it's not going to become reabsorbed in the blood system. If I give you a punch in the arm or a slap in the face and turn red or turns cold, eventually that blood will be reabsorbed into your regular system. Okay, apparently these things not, okay? And that's what the Meir explains. The Meir explains there in Shabbos Kuzayin Rebbeis, 14 Shar Shrotzim, Karbiyana Mishra, Shechava and Potter, B'nitzra Hadam. By other types of creatures, Nitzra Hadam is not a problem. However, and here's the key point.
Other
shrutzim, if you make these marks, they get reabsorbed, the blood comes back in, it's not a problem. However, you actually extracted blood, and you punched them or smacked it hard enough that it caused it to bleed, not just a black and blue mark where basically the blood comes up, it doesn't come out because the skin blocks it. Okay, but if you cause it to actually bleed, then chayav. Then you're going to be chayav by all things, because that's called netilas neshama, because you took part of its life away. You're going to live now for a while, but by that and that blood you took out, that's called netilas neshama. That's what I'm bringing out from this Miri. You know what I'm saying? With the whole discussion of Gemara about these other types of creatures, I don't know enough about the science of it. You know, the animal, you know, the biology and so on and so forth, but. What emerges is that if the only discussion is if the blood never comes out, but if blood comes out, so then that is Netilas Neshama, even by other creatures. Okay, that's what the Miri is pointing out. And Tosus kind of says it too. Tosus on Ein Hamad Aleph, what else? On Shabbos, but the Masik Yehechi, he says the two Lashonas in Rashi we saw before, that Rashi in Kuzayim, but Nira Kalash Nachash appears because of Breishma and Shrotzim and Kamen Kuzayim, and after Chobah and Chayim. Look what Tosu says in the second line. Unatilas Hadam, Hainu Natilas Neshama. Taking blood out, that's called Natilas Neshama. How do we know? Quotes are possible. We'll see it later. Blood is considered, we call it in English the lifeblood. Right? So blood is, you remove blood, so you're removing a piece of its life, so to speak. All right, so today we know the blood regenerates and whatever else. But again, moving blood, he said the key words in Tosis there in the second line, here in 15, is Atilas Neshama, Atilas Adam, Hainu Atilas Neshama. Take out the blood, that is Atilas Neshama, Adam HaNefesh. Ulechach, Shmona Shvatzim Sheisham, or Chayav Benitzor Adam, Afu Pishlo Yotza. By the Shmona Shvatzim, even if the blood rises to the surface, it doesn't come out, okay, but it's Nitzor Adam, it will come out, or it's more likely, it's more possible to come out, and so on. Just right now, the skin blocks it from coming out. Okay, the other creature is the only chayav if blood actually comes out. It just, again, I don't know what the word, what's the medical word when the blood comes to the top? A black and blue mark, a bruise.
Bruising.
Bruising, yeah. Well, it doesn't have to clot. Yeah, but bruising, I guess. Huh? Contusion, is that the technical word? Okay.
Maybe
just
a fancy
one. Bruising, okay. There you go. All right, but I like to be fancy sometimes. Okay, so, all right. Yeah, so be that as it may. So that's it. That's the distinction Tosa spells out, that distinction between Shmona Shrotzim and other Shrotzim. The point being, other things, Eino Chayim Ad Sheitzim and Dava, but it's a Dam Lo. It'll get reabsorbed. If it would come out, it would come out right now because the skin is. And I think it's true that at least with certain reptiles, the skin is very thin. Very, very thin. The snake's kind of thing is pretty thin. You know? Okay, I don't know enough about that. Yeah, it can regenerate also. Yeah. Okay.
Part
that
just dies.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. You can see, yeah. Okay. And we started that as a kid. We know
like the animal.
I don't know. I have to check. I have to look online. I'll go online. What happens if you smack a mole in the face? I don't know. A ferret. I don't know. Okay. Anyway, that's the Gemara. Okay. But bottom line for our purpose now. Even causing blood is a violation of Tils Hashalom. Causing blood to come out is for sure a violation of Tils Hashalom. Okay, Now, the Gemara goes on. Yeah. On that same daf, Kuvzan and Beis, that's where the same sugi is. 16. Kuvzan and Beis. Ushar Shkotzim, and so on. So, Hahorgon Chayav. So, by Shar Shkotzim, we said that the difference if you only Chovel is Potter, right? It says Chovel is Potter. Shar Shkotzim, again, not the Shmona Shkotzim. Other things. We said Chovel is Potter. But when it comes to Horeg, then everybody agrees. There's no distinction between the Shmona Shkotzim and anything else. Hahorgon Chayav. Okay, and we explained just now that Horgon doesn't mean a Horgon, also Motzi Dam. Right? Motzi Dam is in the category of Horgon. Good. Where it says, Man Tana, who's the author? Amrimur Velezei. Velezei or the Tanya. Must be Velezei. There, Velezei Omer. Hahoreg Kino B'Shabbos. The Kino is a louse. Okay? Well, you can a tiny, you know, tiny microscopic thing. Hahoreg Kino B'Shabbos. Kahoreg Gomo B'Shabbos. It's like killing a camel. Meaning, and this is what I want to bring out from here, when you're the violation of shochet or the tefillas shama on Shabbos is not determined by the size of the creature. That's what we say, horikina, tiny insect, right? Look in Rashi, why they pick gomel? Mishum the god of hudrach, because they're a big animal. You don't have to pick a cow, you can pick an elephant too. Okay, the point being that it's, you know, whether you kill an ant, you kill a rhinoceros, it's the tefillas shama. Okay, that's what the Rebbe is saying. Horikina b'Shabbos, Kahori Gomel b'Shabbos. So the Gemara says, why do you assume it's only Rebbe Elazar who says that it could kill these creatures? Again, the Gemara had a diuk that this was, Rebbe Yirmiyahu said, this is Rebbe Elazar's opinion. Because Rebbe Elazar says, if you're going to kill a small thing, it's like killing a big thing. And therefore, it works out that by other Shvatzim, even the non-Shmona Shvatzim, there's still Kahori Chayim. Where it says that must be Elazar because he still says killing a little animal is the same as killing a big animal. Where it says Maskel of Yosef, what do you mean? The Rabbanan agree with that. Ad kan lo plig Rabbanan de Elazar al bekina. Rabbanan only disagreed with Elazar about a kina, specifically a kina. Okay, a louse. The ena para varava. It does not reproduce. We looked at this a little bit, we touched on already with the thought. Lice were assumed in the days of the Chazal that they don't reproduce. They're not the result of mating, whatever the right would be, the word would be. Okay, they're not part of a rova. Lice don't reproduce. They come from a person's skin or from sweat or whatever. That's the Gemara assume. All right, we'll see, huh? Dirt, we'll see about that. Avashar shkotzim were lost in the parma oven, but other shkotzim were lost in that do reproduce, and lo pli, even their bottom agree. Their bottom agree. And ushneim lo lamdua elame elim. And the limud is from the rams back in the Mishkan, the Oros Elim Adomim. Rebbe Elazar Savar Ke'elim. Rebbe Elazar who says you're chayv. Remember, Rebbe Elazar says, look again at the words of Rebbe Elazar, the end of the first line of 16. Rebbe Elazar Omer, Hore Kina B'Shabbos, Kore Gomel Shabbos. He says, no, Kina, absolutely, you're chayv. If you kill a louse on Shabbos, you're chayv. Hore Kina is chayv. Okay? I don't care. That doesn't reproduce. Rabbanan disagree by Kina. They said, no, it doesn't reproduce, therefore you're not Chayav. So where do they learn it out from? With this Machlokas of Avraham. And where it says that you learn from the Elim, which of course is the paradigm, or one of the paradigms of Torah. Ma Elim, Sheish Ben Tefillas Shama, Av Kol, Sheish Ben Tefillas Shama. And Belezer says, well, it is alive. It's alive. It's alive, right? So Belezer says, well, a Kina is also alive. So it's parallel enough to Elim that if you kill it, you're Chayav and Tefillas Shama. Rabbanan Savri, no, the parallels to Elim, my Elim deparin Rabban, I've called deparin Rabban. So no, it's got to be something like Elim, which reproduce the normal manner of reproduction, not as opposed to Akina. So Rabban has a broader definition. He says the definition of Tilsa Shoma is anything that's alive. So Akina's alive. I don't care how it got here. Okay. I don't care how it got here. It's alive. So there's an incident of Tilsa Shoma. Whereas Rabbanan say, no, it's got to be parallel to Elim in the sense that it's the result of a reproduction. I'm going to buy a, wait a minute, so Abaye challenges the whole thing. The Kina ain't part of a rubber, really? Kina is not reproduced? Amar Mar, quote the Gemara in the beginning of Rezara, I'm assuming they remember the Gemara in the beginning of Rezara, discusses what a Kadosh Baruch Hu does all day long. Funny Gemara, right? Doc Kimmel, right, what is a Kadosh Baruch Hu busy doing? So it does this, that. Okay. So that Gemara says, so one of the things the Gemara says is, Amar Mar, Yosha Kadosh Baruch Hu, Vizon, Mekarni Re'emim at Beit Zekinin. Because Baruch Hu is busy providing one of the things he's doing. Gemara breaks it down to different hours and so on. So it's a funny Gemara because it says he plays with the Lev Yosef. But I have a few unusual things I have to figure out. I think You have to understand what it means. It plays all of us and what the Gemara is trying to communicate, how we should spend our time, whatever. It's an interesting Gemara. But be that as it may, the one of the things Rechavim Baruch Hu does during the course of the day, it says, is he takes care of the mezonos. So it takes care from all the creatures. Make karnei re'emim. Right, the whole re'em is a big animal. The horns of a big animal takes care of them. Beit zekinim to the eggs of lice, which are called nits, popularly. Okay, and it was even the Kadosh Baruch Hu takes care of all living creatures, from the biggest to the smallest. But meanwhile, says Abai, well, the word beit zekinim, eggs for lice, implies what? That they're product of reproduction, that they come from reproduction of some sort, you know, tiny reproduction. Right? So the Gemara said, no, it's Oraya mine do mikri beit zekinim. No, there's some type of a, it doesn't mean eggs, it means there's something called beit zekinim. Atanya tvuya beit zekinim, mina do mikri beit zekinim. All right, fine. I don't want to. So at the time, it didn't mean eggs. All right. So we have to understand, we'll come back to in a moment, what does this Gemara mean? What do Chazal mean when we say that they don't reproduce? We know today they do reproduce. Okay, they're very tiny, but there is some form of production. So we'll see later. Rosh Hashanah and others say, yeah, but since it's microscopic, we don't see it. So halacha, we treat it as if it doesn't reproduce. Right? We can't see it. We can't see the eggs. They're microscopic. Okay, so any type of creature is microscopic. So halacha, we view it as if, so to speak, as if it doesn't reproduce, even though it does. Okay. Anyway, that's the Gemara. So getting back to our issue. The Gemara says, "Hari parush." Parush discusses fleas. Okay, flea. Parush, the parvar, fleas do reproduce. The Tanya Hatzad parush, the Shabbos of Elezer Mechayev, Rabbi Shua Poter. So even though they reproduce, Rabbi Shua Paters. So here's another important point to the Gemara. Omer Bashi, say the Harigok, yeah. Yeah, not they don't exist. Well, halacha. No, so it's like they don't exist in this in a normal way. It's like they don't reproduce. They do.
Yeah,
Kakash Baruch can see them, you know, so to speak.
No, then therefore it's not in Gemara. You don't answer by saying that means something else. You answer by saying they're so small like they don't exist. There's not in Gemara proof that that just makes sense.
No, I think it means that that we treat them as if they weren't the product of reproduction. We look at it as if they
were. Answer that in Gemara.
In the Gemara, there. No, I hear.
It's proof that.
Yeah, I hear. Okay, I'm not sure. Yeah, I hear. It would have been a bit. Yeah, okay. I don't know. All right. Anyway, so what about a parish? The Gemara says there's an opinion of Yeshua. It potters you from the inside of parish, even though it does reproduce. There's no the parish are flea. There's no doubt that it does reproduce, right? So Gemara gives an important answer. That's why I'm giving it. These are all the Gemara's about the Shoma. Omer of Ashi, see the Hariga Karams. You asked a question about Sod. We're talking about taking the life. Ad Kan lo pligu lo Yeshua el demar savar. Because by tzad, there was an exclusion, the dover she'ena b'mino nitzo. Okay? But leinin hariga filo b'shua mode. That's an important point. We said that tzad doesn't apply to a type of creature which is not normally trapped or hunted. But the iser of hariga will apply no matter what. You can't compare those two different dinim. That's what I wanted to bring up in the conclusion of that Gemara. It's an important point. But the iser of tils neshama, the Gemara says, even if Yeshua agrees, it's not allowed. You're not allowed to take it in some way. Whether or not this particular creature tends to be, you know, ordinarily captured or hunted or whatever, is irrelevant to Malach of Shochet. That's only relevant to Tzad. There we have the chilek between Davash Amino Nitzel and Davash Amino Nitzel. That's an important point that Gemara makes. You see that? Okay, so that's not, shouldn't gloss over that point. The parush. No, you're right, it's not normally trapped. So therefore, might have a ton of says there's no issue of trapping by a flea, because people don't normally try to catch fleas. Okay? But the issue of the tils of shomer, that's still gonna apply no matter what. So that's why I said before, there's overlap between sod and shochet, but the dinim are not entirely parallel. You hear what I'm saying? The dinim are not entirely parallel because again, sod, there'll be a chilek between some of the dover shemamino needs some dover shemamino needs some, and there's no such chilek by killing. Okay, so that's what I wanted to bring out from there. One or two other examples in Gemara's. Okay. Let's look at 18. Same sugya, Kuf Zayin Beis. Amar Shmuel, Hashole dog min hayam. You pull a fish out of the pond. Okay, and Rashi explains, Shayanitzer ba'omid ba'od yom, was in this in a tanker in a pond from before. It was already trapped. There's no tzad issue. But you take it out now. Take a fish out of water. Okay, Hashole dog min, okay, min hayam. So the Gemara says, Kevin she yovesh bo kisela chaya. Right? Again, I'm trying to show you a different column with regard to Malachim Tilsa Shama. So we said, let's go over it again. We said it today so far. Tilsa Shama applies even if you don't shecht it, you kill it some other way. Okay? It's still going to be in Tilsa Shama. And we also spoke about Chovil, bruising. Certainly, if blood comes out, that's for sure going to be told of Shochin, no matter what. Okay? And now we saw the distinction between, it doesn't make a difference whether it's a large animal or it's a small animal. Maybe lice are different. Okay. I'll come back to that point. And now we're seeing, and then we just saw that there's no distinction between whether it's dover shemino nitzot or not. That's no gate of tzad, but it's not no gate of shochet. And now we're seeing something else. It says, Omer Shmuel, 18, Hashola dog marayam kevon sheyovesh bo kisela. The fish out of water begins to dry out, and there's a dry spot the size of a sella. Rashi says, Kiroch of sella, the coin, the width of a sella. Once there's a dry spot on the fish, the width of a sella, you're violating the Tilsa Shama, even though the fish may still be alive. But the idea is that once it has a spot that big, that's dry, it's going to die. It's not going to die. Okay, it's not going to live. So, then Gemara qualifies it. Rabbi Yosi bar Oven, Amar Yosi bar Oven, Uvein Snapiro. Depends where the dry spot is, between its fins. Okay. And over Amar Ravashi, and Ravashi says, Lo Tema Yavesh Mamish, doesn't have to be completely dry. El Afila the Oven Riri. Riri is like, becomes slimy, sticky. You know, that's what happens. It becomes slimy. So one says, that's not going to live. Okay. As Rashi says, Chayev, Mishum Natilos Hashama, Desulo Chayev. Now, what this implies, states, is that even if you didn't yet kill the animal, you did something that's going to you cut off its life supply, or whatever you again, with a fish, you took it out of water. Fish can flap outside of water. It may depend on the fish, I suppose. Certain fish, I think, you throw back in, eventually certain fish you throw back in after a while, they'll swim. You know, and of course, a big, let's say a whale, you stay out of water for a while. Okay, not that long, but I think it makes a difference to keep it wet or not. Anyway, the point being that even if the fish didn't die right now, so let's take a look at the Rabban, the Chidushim there on the Avku Zayin Rebbeis 20. And the Rashba says it before all the regular Rishonim, I didn't quote all the Rishonim, you look at the Rishonim on that daf. So I read the Rabban, he's the earliest to quote it. Hargan, Matam, and Yirmi, Pirish, the Rishonim, Rabashim, Mashma, the Chayav Mishun, the Tils of Shama, Bechol Dover Shukai. Number one, the Rabban is saying there's an Isser until shown by any living creature. And the Rabbanan Pater by Kina, and he said by extension, Bechol Dover She'ein Bo Gidim Batsamos. It doesn't have sinews and bones, these type of creatures. He says, Nami Patru, Mishum She'eno Miskayem Yud Beis Chodesh. These types of insects and creatures don't live that long. Naturally, don't live that long. Can have a very short lifespan. Certain types of insects, I don't know, certain insects last less than 2 days, I think. Okay, they don't live long at all. So he says, Havale Kemes. All right. And the Lumdos is from Olas Elim Adam, like we explained before. And we mentioned the kin about Harun Baravin, but I quote you, Shami. All right. So he says, the boy Parvarava, I will give them about Tzomos Lobinen. Yushalmi implies that it has to be able to reproduce, but it doesn't matter. Even if it doesn't have Gidim about Tzomos, it still be the Tils Hashama, as long as it reproduces. All right, let's see the Rambam. Har Gid Aleph, Mitzvah Shabbos, Aleph Aleph, 21. Hashochet Chayav. Okay, good. And the Rambam right away says, Velo Hashochet Pilvad, Elakol Hanoto Neshama Le'echad, Mikol Mine Chaya Ubehema, the ov, the dog, the sheretz, all these type of living creatures, Yechayim, Bein B'shchita, Bein B'nechira, Ova Hakov, okay, you killed it, you shechted it, you stabbed it, you hit it over the head, you clubbed it, whatever you did. Okay? Hachonek is achai. Hachonek is achai. Actually, almost. Rav's Areza told the Shochet. Because it doesn't die right away. Okay. Lefichav, and therefore, okay, what we just saw in the Gemara in 18, on Kuzan and Bez and Shabbos, Im hella dog, mi sefil shalmayim, it took a fish out of a bucket of water, pail of water, binicho ad shemes, you left it, line it till die, chai mishum chonek. But below ad sheyomos, ela kevin sheyobesh bo kesela bein snapirav, chai av sheod eni yochol lichos. They meant something else, the Gemara also, hoshi yodol mea behema dildal uber, jmea chai av. Okay, we'll go back now. You stuck your hand in the womb of an animal and you strangled the fetus. Okay, it's a different shalom. The Minchas Chinuch makes an important point in Mosach HaShabbos. It's Mitzvah Lamed Beis. We have all the Malachos of Shabbos. So the Chavtes, Shochet 22, he writes, he quotes the Rambam, and he writes, important point that emerges from all of the above, second line of 22, Mavur, the Ein Sorach Sheyomos HaBal Chai Techef. Again, for the violate until the shama, Luchas Chinuch points out, the animal doesn't have to die immediately. Rak kiven she also bo dover she ela yochol lichios alasiya zu chay mishum until the shama. Here, it created to the point that it can't live. Therefore, mechein kozel shochet af she mefarches adayim. You know, if still mefarches are hopping around, you chay mishum until the shama. The ain sorech. She almost miyad. But fize im osa. This is what he says. Im osa mi bal chai trefa. You make something into a trefa. It won't live that long. Okay, but you will wound it internally in such a way that it's a trefa. Gam ken chayev. Kevan, that abbreviation. Dalat tes alef. I told the old stanza is a trefa and a chayev. For whatever the reason, I don't know the reason. In the Bar Ilan database, the Minchas Chinuch is in the old Minchas Chinuch. Not from the Minchas Chinuch, but you guys are familiar with the black Minchas Chinuch, which I think I told us in the past, the old Minchas Chinuch was just a very, very difficult book to read because, first of all, it doesn't have paragraphs. It's long, you know, the Minchas Chinuch can be long sometimes, just goes on and on. And in the editions you see, it's broken into nice little paragraphs. And they tell you on the side of the page what he's talking about, right? What the topic is. Very, very handy. I told you so. When I got a Minchas Chinuch on Bar Mitzvah, I mean, I didn't open it on Bar Mitzvah, that's for sure. But, you open the Minchas Chinuch, it's just very, very difficult to read. Because just like my father, Alva Shalom, was a professor of English here in Yeshiva College for more than 40 years. So he used to, when he tried to explain in the composition class what a run-on sentence is, he used to use the Minchas Chinuch as an example because the old Minchas Chinuch, it's lines and lines and lines, and I never get to a period. You know, because just now they organize it so nicely. That was the first sefer that I bought when they started to reproduce Svarim nicely printed with footnotes and so on. And I made a mental commitment that I'm not going to buy Svarim that I already have. I don't have any room. The first time I broke it was the Minchas, not the only time. First time I broke it was the Minchas Chinuch, because it's a different work. And one of the things they do is they open up all the Rashi Tevis. Minchas Chinuch, every fourth word is a Rashi Tevis. So, okay, so we know what Imkain or Gamkain is. We see enough time. But here's an abbreviation, Dalat Tes Alef Ches. It's the Trefa and Achaya. Okay, I mean, you know what's going on. It's not a standard abbreviation. Okay, in those days, paper was an expensive commodity. Even in my youth, people didn't waste paper. People did not waste paper. In fact, the discussion in Poskim, regards to Muktzah and Shabbos, I'm saying that paper is Muktzah, Machmas, Chasson, Kiz. Okay, ask your grandparents, they would sometimes write something down on the back of an envelope. Right? Someone called the phone number or something, you write it down on the back. You don't waste paper. You know, when I grew up like that, you don't waste paper. Now, you can buy a ream of, 150 loose leaf sheets for $1.95. Right? It's a joke. But one time, you don't waste paper. I don't think I had paper to write on. So that's why I had so many Rashi Tevis. Anyways, all right, so trefa and achai, that's what he says. But the important point being that if you make an animal into a trefa, he says that's going to be the tefilas hashom, even though it didn't die now, it's going to die later. Okay, it's a zeposh. Then he asks an interesting question. Second paragraph, 22, of Anima Supak. What if you have a baal chai that already has, he's already not going to live that long anyways. And now I went ahead and killed it sooner. I have a fish without a water. It's going to die. And I go ahead and I slice it right now. Is there, so that's called kir of misasa. I made it die sooner. With a human being, you can't do that. Right? With a human being, a guy is dying, okay? And he's going to die. There's no doubt about it. But if you move him or you're, if they're careful that with the medical, the guy's a ghost this evening. Okay, you got to be very careful not to hasten his death by even 2 seconds. Right, so that's the question. What is the type of question that would ask? Okay, well, let's say you have an animal or a fish or whatever, it's already dying, and now I made it die. The mercy killing. Sometimes you have an animal that's been wounded, so, you know, I don't want to choke it, so they'll die. Or the dog was hit by a car, and it's lying there whimpering. So, you know,
Issue
right, they'll put it out of its misery. You have the expression in English, put it out of its misery. But sometimes people see go ahead, the poor dog, it's in agony, it's whimpering, it's dying a slow death. All right, I'm not going to be able to treat it, so just kill it right there, a mercy killing. Well, that's a question, because that's a question over here. It's in the Supik about it. But anyway, but the nafkamin would be la halacha, and that's how we assume la halacha. Even if it's going to die later, you would not be allowed on Shabbos to spray insecticide or to put out poisoning. You know, it's not going to die now, but it's going to cause the animal to die. It's interesting. Okay, by the way, as a side point, we had that discussion a little bit at the very beginning of the year by Zoray. I plant a seed today, but it's not going to take root until Tuesday. Remember we had that? Right, it's going to take root later on. Or by Bishul. And I cook it on late on Friday after Shabbos afternoon, it's not going to cook till later. But apparently that's not an issue by the Tosafot Shama. Okay. All right. Getting back to the issue of lice, because sometimes it comes up on Shabbos. Getting back to the issue of lice, sometimes it comes up on Shabbos in a few more minutes. 23. The sugya earlier in Shabbos, way back in the first paragraph, Yud Beis Amud Aleph. Tanya. Rav Shimon says, Ein Hargenes HaMacholos B'Shabbos. B'Shabbos Hila Matirin. Macholos is another word for kina. It means louse. In those days, again, lice was terribly common. Okay, people had lice that would get little bed bugs and stuff all the time. Matter of fact, I mean, some of you, I don't know if any of you learned Hilchos Nida, you learn Hilchos Nida. That's the whole heter of Ksamim. You know, you find the stain, the woman finds a tiny blood spot somewhere, and she didn't experience any kind of sensation that's remotely resembling the appearance on, so we have certain coolers depending where you found it, because maybe she sat on a kina, and crushed it and that caused a little tiny blood spot. But today it's highly unlikely that that's what caused it, but nonetheless that's the cool of summer, right? So anyway, but that starts with macholas or kina. All right, anyhow, so macholas beshan beisilo, and so Rashi explains there in Yudbeis Melach 24. Matir, why? Why is Basil Matir? So Rashi refers it to what we already saw on Daf Kof Zayin, and we learned from the Eilim, it's got to be something which reproduces. Okay? How do we know Kina is not reproduces? So here I stuck in because it is Erev Pesach, and because it was shown to mention. Look at 25. The Parshas Va'era, Dom, Tzvardeya, Kinim, right? So Perkes, Pasuk Yudbeis. Ramashal Moshe, Emor El Aaron, Ateus, Matra, Vahachas, Afar Ha'aretz. Where did the kinim come from? Afar Aretz. Okay, they're not. So I would think, okay, maybe that was that one time and so on and so forth. But the Rishonim say the Rashbo, Kedusha Rashbo, there in Shabbos, Yud Beis Melach 26, talks about again different creatures, the parish of fleas, and that's what they call an Arabic burgot and so on. Some said, is this type of thing, not this type of thing? Anyway, he quotes this pasuk. Okay, Al Kane Pirish Kanaman of Hanan, the second line of 26. Shakina, he a parish, so we should cause him a hachas, upper arts, or the kinim alma, hakinim, he ha hova, min offer. It comes out of the dust. Okay, all right, so we know today that it doesn't, but and it doesn't reproduce normally, so it's a form of life, maybe it's a lower form of life. I printed in 27 the Aruch HaShulchan in Yoridea, not here by us, but in Yoridea, it's been paid down on Sif Lamed Vav. Aruch HaShulchan discusses, and it's relevant, the number of errors in halacha. It's because the insects in water, insects in other things. okay, bugs and vegetables. So Rosh Hashanah writes, Yesh mishakosav b'shem chachmei ha-teva ha-mistakel b'schuchis ha-megadelas. You look at a magnifying glass. Shakorin spaktivus, I don't know, magnifying, a microscope. Okay, so then you can see in certain things, it's full of worms. See in Homer, I mean, it's full of creatures. Okay, if you look in the water, whatever, New York City water, right? Whatever, you look in certain types of things, you look through a microscope, you can see all kinds of microscopic creatures. So he says, basically, when he writes, he says, look in the third line, will be Aldusi Shamati with Piachachem, Merchakim, Rod, Derek Spookis, Amagel, I guess he used some kind of telescopic lens. Ma'od, Berivos, Pomim, Mamayim, call me, they brew. He saw in the water all kinds of copepods, whatever other creatures there are in the water and so on. And if he's a Echon, Shosim, Mayim, how to drink water. Okay, well, he didn't come to Wayu, the water's filtered, you know. But that's the whole concern. How do we drink water? Shara Elo Habrum Nishabu Makarim. Amram MSE, the Torah, the Lo Asa, the Torah, Masha Eina Ayin shall let this boat. That's the key line. The Torah does not ask you something that you can't see with the naked eye. Okay, the Lo Nitna Torah Lamalachim. Okay, and he says, after all, otherwise, how can you breathe the air? Can you intake all kinds of germs and things, and microscopic things in the air and so on? Anyway, bottom line. And you can say by the kinim as well, since the eggs can't be seen, so la halacha, so to speak, they'll be in a certain way non-existent. They'll treat it as if they don't exist, if they don't lay eggs. All right. The Rambam Paskins Fishop. Excuse me. The Rambam Paskins and Nichol Parking it off on the base. Remosim Shane Porin Muravin, Mizorch and Keva, O Nahavin Offer, Kamapurisha, Horigosim Chayev, Horig Ben Bechayev, Avramosim Shahavim in Hagololim. Okay, it comes with excrement, so I guess we call it the maggots and stuff like that. But peros, rotting fruit, have bugs that come out, so on and so forth. Right, these kind of things. In a peros, shevishu, you go toloim shalbosa, toloim shemizoha kitnias, you know, worms and little maggots and other creatures inside rice and kitnias and so on. Argan potter. Now, potter is potter also. So remember, still has to abundant. To kill these things, important point to bear in mind. So Shulchan Aruch says, we saw this a little bit, saw it also, 29, Simshin Tezayin Siv Tes. We'll just do this in the Mishabur and then we'll finish. Okay, the Simshin Tezayin Siv Tes. Shmona Shratzim Ritorah Tzad Chayav Achol Bohen Afa Pishal Tzvim Dam El Anitzvot Azor Chayav. The Chayav by Shmona Shratzim again, because that's called the Tiyos Neshama. Sharshots and other things, Eno Chayav, Acholmahem, Elimkin, Yotzamahem, Dom, wants to come out, like we saw before. And then, Batsotam, Tzor, Chayav, Shal, Tzor, Chayav, Stab, Potter, also Ramam Chayav, Finance, Batsot, Arish, yeah. Siftes, Parosh, and Ikor, Bargos, Bloshan, Arav, Arabic, he says, unless it's stingy, also Lahargo, okay, and also, let's see the Mishnah Brua, okay. Chovel, the reason you're chayav and chovel, these types of shvatzim, tam lechiv chamol, maybe tilas shoma sheba also makom. That's the key line, like I explained to you before. Again, it's just a review. We saw this already, right? Now we see it in the poskim. The tilas shoma sheba also makom. It's taking away the life from that one place. Okay? Can I again mention that poskim? Ki adam one nefesh. Okay, now feel a yotzadam, if blood came out or gathered one place, and the thing was going to come out, it's chayav. All right, and Sukkot Laman Alf explains that Nitzor Hanushanessa Nikbat's Mokomechon, the Shuvay Nochoz and Nivla, it's not going to be reabsorbed into the system with these type of creatures. Al Kain Chayv Mishum Atilus the Shaman, but also Mokom, Kadam Onev, like I said before. Let's just finish up 30 in the next page of the Mishnah Berurah here that I wanted to point out. Sukkot Laman Beis, Atam the Kamel Chabura Choser, it's not Shmo Chabura. For this purpose, a wound that's going to be reabsorbed, eventually going to clear up, that's not called a wound, and therefore you wouldn't be chayav unless you know chayav actually yetzei dam. But the other shmona shvatzim is not so because it's the tilsa shalom shem also makom. Again, we saw this already, so now you don't have to make a fuss about this. As far as you know, what's considered part of a simul tekina, okay, and the tzad, and also a hargo, it says because of the mishkan, it's a quite a lot of chess. He said it doesn't matter how you kill it. Again, all things we discussed, you can look at it, you should look it over just to see, to review what we already discussed. In Sukkot Memal, if he talks about things that come in meat or like maggots and stuff like that, again, these are all things you're allowed to kill them. Even if you're allowed to kill them, it's also potter of also in darbonon. Okay? So, all right, so we'll stop over here a little late. I want to finish up. And then Sunday morning, we should be able to finish this this malacha of Shochet. Okay? Yeah. Oh. Very good. All right.